Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
What do I say when I see PLO flags flying in Tel Aviv, Israel? I say the left are suicidal. I say the left are pathological. And we're going to be talking about that with, of course, unfortunately, the European Union and their pathological relationship with terrorists. All this is coming up on the show today. You have a chance and an opportunity to call into the show. You can join us on the air. Do you agree? Do you disagree with our guests or what I have to say about this? We want to hear from you. Everyone is entitled to their own opinion. And I'm curious about yours. When you see PLO flags flying in Tel Aviv at a demonstration. Why? Because the Knesset passed the nationality law, which states that Israel is the Jewish people's nation state and establishes the Israeli flag and its other symbols, including the Hebrew language, as mentioned in the Declaration of Independence, other items as well, that this is a Jewish state. But all of its citizens enjoy their civil liberties and their rights. No one's rights are being taken away from them. This makes no difference, this law. What do you have to say about it? I say that last night, Saturday night's demonstration in Tel Aviv proves why we need it, because if we don't have a law like this, we're going to be left. We're going to be left with PLO flags flying in Tel Aviv. That's what's going to be the result of not having a nationality law that says Israel is the Jewish state. All right, our numbers are on our homepage. Give us a call. We'd love to hear it. Right back up.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
There is a big hullabaloo about the nationality law. The leftists are screaming and the Arabs are screaming. And everybody who hates Israel is screaming that this is a racist law, that it's not needed and it's just stirring up anger and they're against it. But guess who the people who are against this law, guess what they were doing last night? They were in Tel Aviv's Rabin Square flying PLO flags. And I submit that these same people who are flying these flags and are at a demonstration where they're flying these flags are the exact reason why we need a law like this, because otherwise that's what you're going to get without it. Our guest right now is Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. He is a researcher, former lecturer at Ben-Gurion University. He has authored over 60 books. He's coming out with a new one right now, by the way. And 400 research papers on science, political science, and more. He's probably most known in the non-academic field for authoring the book Muslim Winter as opposed to the Arab Spring. He served in Israel's War of Attrition and spent much time in Gaza, serving directly with, at that time, General Arik Sharon. He commentates on Mideast and world issues. I want to welcome to the show Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank you for having me.
Does it surprise you or not surprise you, or does it tickle you or not tickle you at all to see PLO flags flying in Rabin Square?
It doesn't tickle me and it doesn't surprise me. It's exactly what I would have expected.
So talk to us about the national
law. What the background here is. The background here is really simple. On the one hand, the nationality law is, which to my taste is much more bland than it should have been, is simply a law stating things that ought to be obvious to anyone who knows anything at all about Zionism or the history of Zionism or anything concerning basic Judaism. What we're saying is that this land is our land and it belongs to us and it always has. And disappointed in the phrasing of the law that does not directly reference Tanakh as the source of that, but that's my taste, okay. But the Arabs have always said since the very beginning that they disagree with the concept of a Jewish people. And if a Jewish people does not exist, if no such thing as a Jewish peoplehood exists, then there's no such thing as a Jewish nationality.
But if they say that, then why are they screaming from their mosques, kill the Jews?
Well, they one is nothing to do with the other. They're saying that Jews are simply a religion and we have no national rights whatsoever. That doesn't preclude the fact of them wanting to kill us. One has nothing to do with the other.
All right, I'm just thinking if we don't exist, there's nobody to kill, but okay. All right, so the
PLO... No, we don't exist as a nation. We exist as a religion. They claim that Judaism is only a religion.
Ah, I see. Okay. All right. So all the 12 tribes of Israel, all the our forefathers that God took out of Egypt to bring us here, we're not a nation. Okay. All right.
They claim that that's myth, that all of that is stuff that we falsified.
Okay. All right.
That's what it says in the Quran.
Last night, Saturday night, PLO flags flying in Tel Aviv. Jewish leftists are at this demonstration. I would imagine that some people may have been uncomfortable when they saw that, but probably most of them not, since they knew that they were going to be demonstrating with the Arabs, and they're demonstrating against their own heritage. Do you want to comment?
Again, it's no surprise. If you have people like Shulamit Aloni, who made a point of demonstrating against their heritage constantly, and people like Tamar Zandberg of Meretz, who makes a point all of her life, all of her public life, of demonstrating against Jewish heritage or against anything concerning Judaism, well then what is the surprise? These are people who are in principle against the concept of Judaism. And clearly in principle against the concept of Jewish nationality.
So how do you think the government should handle the left's attempt to sabotage this law and to sabotage the identity of the Jewish state of Israel?
I'm not a legal scholar, so that I think that's a legal question more than anything else. And I don't really know how to react to a legal question. There's a big question right now that exists that I understand the question. I don't understand what the possibilities of the answer are, and that people have submitted petitions to the High Court of Justice that they should rescind this law. Now, it's not clear to me that that's even possible, because what gives them the power to do anything is a basic law, and this is a basic law. So I don't understand how that works. Maybe because I'm not a lawyer, but there seems to be an ingrown dichotomy here. And if these people had any ethics whatsoever, they would say that they're just not qualified to discuss law. They can discuss the process in which it was passed, which might or might not have been correct, but the law itself, they don't have the right to really discuss it.
I'm just a scientist. I think that most of the Jews in Israel, and even some Druze and other citizens, are very happy about this law defining that we are a Jewish state, defining our character, because this guarantees the civil and human rights that we give all other citizens living here. We have Arabs sitting on our Supreme Court. We have Arabs sitting in the government. We have Arabs who are doctors and lawyers, et cetera, in all the professions. What do you believe is the reason that right now, in 2018, since the establishment of the state in 1948, they're bringing up this law now? Why is this law important? Why did they do it now?
Well, first of all, we should mention that they've been trying to do it for 10 years and they didn't succeed, mostly because of problems with various coalition members. So this is not, your question is not quite phrased optimally, because they've been trying to do it for a long time and they only now succeeded. I would say that, why did it take so long? Well, for the first, I would say the first decade and a half, two decades, the country was too busy with surviving and becoming a country for people to really think about this, that this was a problem. And in the next, say, two or three decades, we were just starting to build an economy. So really, it was only, say, 20 years ago that the issue could have come up. And it came up about 10 years ago, which there's a question, why did it take 10 years for them to wake up to it? And then the second question, why did it take 10 years for them to actually accomplish it? But that actually is the phrasing of the question, I think. And some things like this just take time for the realization to comprehend that a problem exists, that you need to create a law for it.
And, you know, I find it ironic that there are Islamic republics in the world. The left is not on the streets trying to stop this, trying to repeal this definition of their states. But when it comes to a Jewish state, one Jewish state, not many Islamic republics and Islamic flavored states, all of a sudden they're screaming at the Jews.
Well, I think you can improve that phrasing a little bit. The vast majority of nations in the EU have such laws. So why is it okay for Holland or for Czech Republic or for
Poland,
Romania or whatever to have laws like this, and it's not okay for us?
So what's your answer?
The answer is anti-Semitism, clearly. Mm. I mean, what they're saying is, do what I tell you to do and don't do what I do. These people still think they have a right to tell Jews what to do, that we are dependent upon them, dependent upon their goodwill for our very existence, and they don't have very much goodwill towards us. So essentially, what I'm saying is, well, in Hebrew we say kvotzli. I don't know how you'd say that.
Off a cliff, basically.
Something like that, yes.
Right. Okay. All right. So the nationality law, please God, it should be here to stay. And it's about time, by the way. And Israel is a Jewish state, and we are an amazing state in that even though we are Jewish, we give rights to the Christians, to the Muslims. They can work in any profession they want. They are in our government. They are in our Supreme Court. They are in our hospitals. They are in everywhere. My physical therapist, when I had a bad back suffering some years ago, there are Arabs. So there's freedom here, and the Arabs enjoy more civil rights and humanistic rights here in Israel than in any other Arab country. So as you say, go jump off the cliff. That's what we should say to these PLO waving flags. And unbelievable, in Tel Aviv, in Rabin Square, I bet you Rabin, even though he brought us Oslo, I know that in certain points he was digging his heels and he didn't like seeing what Oswald was bringing us. And he, I believe, would be turning over in his grave to see PLO flags flying in Rabin Square when, at his time even, it was forbidden to wave the PLO flag here in Israel. All right, when we get back, we're going to be continuing our talk. If you'd like to weigh in on the issue, you can call in. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We're going to be talking about the EU's pathological relationship with terror and ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Hezbollah, the drug lords, jihad, all that coming up. We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. You can call in if you have any comments or questions, if you want to weigh in on the issue. We're talking now about the European Union's pathological relationship with terror. Also, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Hezbollah, the drug lords, jihad. Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, where would you like to start?
Well, let me start with some of two basic statements that people are probably not aware of. First of all, people probably remember the massacre of sportsmen, men, women, in Munich a few decades ago. I don't know if anybody's aware of it, but Germany never prosecuted them. Germany freed all of those people who were captured, all those murderers that were captured in Germany, on German soil, by German policemen, were freed after 1 month.
Okay.
Never prosecuted.
That was a complete conspiracy, by the way. Let me just give people a remember. Was it 1972, if I'm not mistaken?
I think so.
There was the Olympics in Munich. The PLO terrorists came in, stormed the Israeli compound where the apartments were of our athletes. They took them hostage, and then they, long story short, they killed them. They killed a lot of them, tortured them first terribly. And when they were taken into custody, some of the survivors, they were held. And then very soon afterwards, I think it was a Sabina airplane was hijacked again, because the PLO brought you hijacking. So thank the PLO for all of your long lines in the airport and all the things that you can't take on the plane anymore. That's courtesy of the PLO who started all of this, hijackings, etc. They said that they wanted to free those terrorists, and so Germany had to do it, right? But it was so interesting because that Sabina plane, if I remember reading up on it, was almost empty. A lot of people were not on that flight. It was almost like it was a whole setup in order for Germany to be able to release these terrorists without getting into any trouble. But go ahead. You guys, and I encourage you to go and look it up. Look it up on the internet. Go ahead.
So they were freed 1 month after they were captured. 1 month. I mean, they're still free. I mean, nothing happened with them. And just to bring it up to date, there are today in Germany 1,000 Hezbollah operatives and 300 Hamas operatives actively working in Germany today. This is by the German police. This is not my numbers. So what are we talking about here? When we're talking about Hezbollah, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, what are we really talking about? First of all, we should be aware that all of the Sunni organizations, Hamas, ISIS, and Al-Qaeda, are all really parts of the Muslim Brotherhood. They all came from the Muslim Brotherhood, and they retain their connections with the Muslim Brotherhood. Hezbollah is different because it's Shia, not Sunni, but that's besides the point. Up until a few years ago, a very few years ago, as a matter of fact, 2 years ago exactly, the Sunni organizations were mostly local in their major activities. ISIS was organized around its activities in the former countries of Iraq and Syria, and with a little bit of activities in various parts of North Africa. Al-Qaeda was mostly in the area of Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Yemen, and et cetera, et cetera. So mostly things like this were more or less kept localized. Hezbollah was a little bit different from them. Hezbollah has a major arm of it of itself in Latin America, beginning in the so-called Three Corners area, the place where Paraguay and Argentina, etc., meet up. They're very strong there, and everyone's aware of Mr. Trump's constantly talking about MS-13. MS-13 is a branch of Hezbollah. It's an organization which was bought and paid for by Hezbollah. Almost all of the drug activities today, this is a very important statement that I'm making, almost all drug activities today in the world are governed by, controlled by the various jihad organizations. Some of the traditional in double quotation marks, crime organizations like the Camorra from Napoli, the Mafia, the Cosa Nostra from Sicily, etc. They still have some dealings in drugs, but they've mostly been taken out of the picture by the jihad organization, who are much, much stronger and much, much more better funded. All of the drugs that are shipped to Europe come today from ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Africa. All of the drugs shipped to America, to North America, come from Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda, with a little bit of ISIS, very little, coming from Latin America, mostly via their organizations in Central America and the Caribbean. The source of almost all opium today in the world is Iran. The source of almost all cocaine in the world is Hezbollah. What Trump has done is he's destroyed ISIS in Iraq and Syria. But they are now beginning a massive takeover of countries in Africa. When we see that Netanyahu has had enormous success in speaking with African countries, this is because these people, the leaders of the African countries today, the south of Sahara African countries, are scared out of their minds because these criminals, these terrorists, are taking over their countries. Now, how does this hook up to Europe? How does this hook up to EU? Lo and behold, what people don't expect, what people aren't aware of, is that these organizations are not being headquartered in the Middle East. They're not headquartered in Iran. They're not headquartered in Lebanon. Hezbollah is. The Sunni organizations are not headquartered in Lebanon or in Iran. They're headquartered in Europe, with Europe's not passive acquiescence. Europe, as the title of our thing talked about, has a, what I call, and not only me, a pathological relationship with Hezbollah, and not only with Hezbollah. This is an article written by one Dr. Eric Mandel in the Jerusalem Post recently, which talks about this extensively and gives a clear documentation of some of these things. But it goes much, much further than that. When we see that there's an enormous relationship between Putin and Netanyahu, it's because Putin is scared out of his mind. He doesn't know what to do because he has enormous pressure from these terrorist organizations in South Russia.
So to sum up,
the Europeans are not frightened because they're cooperating.
To their own detriment in the end.
Well, of course, but that's Europe.
I just want to make a correction here before you sum up, because we only have 3 minutes left. It was not the Sabena flight. That was a different terror hijacking. We're talking about the Lufthansa flight 615, which makes even more sense, of course, because it's a German airplane, Lufthansa. And on board, there were only 13 people, including two hijackers, according to Wikipedia, which makes it even more suspect that this whole thing was set up in order to let Germany have an excuse to free the terrorists that went on a massacre to kill these Jewish athletes. All right, so that's just a correction there. We have 2.5 minutes, less, 2 minutes, sum up.
Well, I think this is very relevant, what you just said, because people need to be aware of another item here in terms of the Munich massacre, and that is we offered to go in and take out the terrorists and free the hostages, and the German police refused our permission. They went in instead, and they failed.
They really messed up.
Most of the people that were killed, most of the hostages that were killed by Germans, not by the Arabs.
Well,
nobody needs to have any disillusions about the relationship between the EU and the various terrorist organizations. The fact that the EU refuses to classify Hezbollah as a terrorist organization is not chance.
You know, if you play with a scorpion, you're going to get stung. Europe is getting stung. Some of them don't even realize it yet. But I don't know if Europe will recover.
I don't believe it will.
One last word?
Well, just yesterday I was at a dinner in the morning, and somebody asked me, a young gentleman who's, I think he's 24, 25, something like that. He asked me what my opinion of the future of Europe was, and I said, my opinion is that the future of Europe is in its past.
Meaning?
It has no future. Europe is dead. It's just a zombie. It's a walking dead.
Well, we're going to have to leave it right there. Maybe next week we can continue with this, because it's quite interesting. I mean, this is a change of world history, geopolitics, etc. Very, very interesting what's going to be. Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's always enlightening to speak with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And when we get back, we're going to be speaking with Shifra Hoffman. Again, I want to remind you all that you can call in if you want to agree, disagree. You're welcome to do so. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We'd love to hear from you. That's why we do live shows. So don't be shy. Call in. Weigh in on the issue. We'll be right back.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
Right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and it's now time for the Jewish Activism segment with Shifra Hoffman. Shifra Hoffman is the founder of VictimsOfArabTerror.org, and she's the director of Shuva.net. And she's speaking to us now from downtown Jerusalem, waiting for a bus to take her to the Holy Western Wall, because it is Rosh Chodesh, which is the new month. It is a celebration. It is a good thing. Welcome to the show, Shifra Hoffman.
I want to bless all the good Jews and the good people that we know are out there. And let yourself, Lord, be heard. And may take all the fake news off. And thank God that we have our land. And there's going to be the nationalistic law, which the Knesset passed, to said, to confirm that we are the Jewish state And we have the right to be the Jewish state. No one has the right to tell us what to be any more than they tell the Vatican what to be. So all this demonstration about even not equal, first of all, you have to understand there can't be equality between Jews and non-Jews in terms of this state. It's a Jewish state with Jewish laws. We were given the laws by God Almighty in the Torah, and that has to be the law. So all these demonstrators, 10,000, have lined up with Arabs and came to Tel Aviv yesterday with PLO flags. You want to live in an Arab country? There are 22. Go there. But don't say that we can't have our nationalistic law here, because otherwise we have no right to any of Israel, and we have a right to all of it, thank God.
And by the way, you know, we have this law, and yet they're still able to go out and demonstrate as they wish. Their rights have not been taken away. Go ahead, Shifra.
Well, but you know what? I wrote an article, and I may send it out again. It was called Israel's Split Personality. You can't have a Torah state and a democracy, because in a Torah state, Jews have first and foremost our rights. Doesn't mean that you mistreat the aliens. Of course not. But they have no rights the way we do. Jewish money for Jewish causes, Jewish buildings, Jewish temples, all the things that Jews have to have, which they destroyed from us since the temples were destroyed. So if they don't want to live here, as Ger Toshav, which the Torah says, you have the right to live here with full rights, but not through bullets or through ballots to chase us out of our land or change our name.
And which is what they're trying to do now. And sadly, some of the leftist Jews are assisting them in doing that and trying to eat away the nation.
You know, it's just tragic that the army doesn't understand. They indoctrinate people to join the army, and God bless the army. Without the army, God forbid, I don't want to think about it. When we didn't have an army, 20,000 Jews went into the gas chambers every day. But they should also be able to learn the Torah. A soldier should learn Torah before he goes into the army, and the Torah student should study Torah and then go into the army. It should be too, like the great late Rabbi Meir Kahane used to say, Jews have two legs. One Jew says, oh, only Israel, but no Torah. The other Jew says, only Torah, but no Israel. It's two legs, Torah and Israel for the people of Israel.
You also wanted to talk about the Republican candidate in Missouri who said Hitler was right.
You know, when we say never again, we thought that that meant so. But it seems it's happening again. And I know that you give the website that we have, but it's important that they should hear it many times. www.shuva.com. A candidate from Missouri who said Hitler was right just won the primary to be in the Republican Party as one of the candidates for the election in Missouri. Never again? For them, if one Holocaust wasn't enough. Jews, what's wrong with you? Why are you sitting there and waiting, God forbid, for another Holocaust? Israel is waiting for you. Come home now. Come with your money. Come build your homes. You can have the most magnificent home here. And if you don't, they still will provide you with nefesh for nefesh. You will be able to most employment or housing. They help you. Not like the refugees who came after the Holocaust. They found desert, and with their broken bodies, they irrigated the desert so that today there is not only water but beautiful hotels and everything that people are looking for all over the world. You can find right here in Eretz Israel.
All right, Shifra Hoffman, anything else that you want to tell our listeners?
Yes, I want to say that the month of Elul, this month, and that's why I'm going to the Holy Wall, is a month that ushers in the days of war. We are told to search our deeds. Do search your deeds, all of you, all of us, I'm including myself, and say to ourselves, let me become the real Jew I'm supposed to be, and may God bless us that way. Because he promised that if we keep the laws that he's told us to keep, he will fight for us and we will win and we will remain here forever. I'm asking every Jew to pray that the Jewish people should remain in Eretz Yisrael as the sovereign power forever and to be able to serve God Almighty.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Shifra Hoffman, for coming to the show. You pray well at the Western Wall.
Let me also just say hi to Nathan Mond and to Motik and some of the people that write to me. And also, I want to say that they can reach me by hoffmanshifra@gmail.com. Rosh Chodesh Tov and Shana Tova.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Shifra Hoffman. All right. And so we have a few minutes left. If you want to call in and weigh in on the issues, you can do so. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Do you agree with what you've heard? Do you disagree? Do you want to weigh in on the issue? You have a comment, a question? Feel free to call in now and speak with me. You only have a couple of minutes left, so you'll have to dial right now if you want to come on the show. I wanted to talk to you about the complicity of Europe with the terrorists, and I did not know I would be talking about this today at all. I have talked about it on the show before, but that was about the Lufthansa flight that was hijacked so soon after the hijackings, after the terror attack, the massacre at the Munich Olympics. And it is disgraceful. It is disgraceful what happened and the complicity of Germany with not wanting to hold the terrorists. They didn't want to hold the terrorists. Why? Because if you held the terrorists, number one, they might try to commit terror attacks against you. And they prove it by saying, oh, look, you see, our airliner was hijacked. But the airliner hijacked only had a few people on it, which is already suspect, because most planes don't take off with only 13 people, with two of them terrorists. And it's a German plane, and it's right after the massacre that took place at the Olympics. All of this is what we say stinks. It smells bad. It smells very, very, very bad. Let me read you something from the Jewish Virtual Library. Sorry, this is from the... I'm just looking at my notes here, and I did not look at this before the show, so I'm hoping that I will make sense to you. But this is actually from the German newspaper, the Der Spiegel. The German newspaper, Der Spiegel. It says here, after the 1972 Olympics, although Munich, the attack there involved multiple murders, the language in the files of the German government oddly downplays what happened there. Then Chancellor Brandt is quoted as saying that the Olympic massacre was a, quote, crazy incident. That's how he describes it. While Paul Frank, a state secretary in the foreign ministry, refers to it simply as events in Munich. Diplomats and senior interior ministry officials upgraded the status of the Black September, that's the PLO, by calling it a resistance group, as if its acts of terror had been directed against Hitler and not Israeli civilians. And they say here the Munich chapter was closed. At the time, there were widespread fears of further attacks. That's what I was just telling you. The intelligence services regularly reported on plans to hijack German airliners. In most cases, they warned that hijackers could be used to secure the release of three Olympic killers who had survived the firefight with the police in Germany. And then on October 29th, the warnings became reality. A group of PLO terrorists hijacked a Lufthansa plane en route to Frankfurt. The Bavarian state government immediately released the three prisoners who were flown to Libya via Zagreb. Paul Frank, the senior foreign ministry official, told the Libyan ambassador with relief that, quote, from Germany's standpoint, quote, the Munich chapter was closed as a result of the release. The German government chose not to request the extradition of the three terrorists from Libya. In a memo to Chancellery, Frank wrote, quote, we should be pleased that the whole thing has calmed down sufficiently. This is what we're dealing with. Europeans, especially the Germans in this case, not just cooperating, but in bed with the terrorists. Let's remember that the 1976 hijacking of the Air France flight in where they took the Jews to Uganda. They let all of the non-Jews and non-Israelis go, but the Israelis they held captive there. They were going to kill them unless Israel released captured terrorists. That among the terrorists who were holding the Jews, the Israelis in Uganda, there was a German woman there. They were working together. And here we have the not just Germans, but the government of Germany using this hijacking as an excuse to get rid of the terrorists. They didn't want them. They also didn't care. I mean, there were just Jews who were killed. And the world hates the Jews. Sadly, the world still hates the Jews. And that's why we have to have an Israel. And that's why we have to keep our Israel. And that's why we need the nationality law. Because the PLO flags today are not far from swastika flags of Nazi Germany. They also want the end of the Jewish state and the end of the Jewish people. Yitzhak al-Yahud, kill the Jews. Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight talk
from
Israel.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.